Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called White Rhythmic Dog, and it is the sixth day of the Red Serpent Wave Spell, and it is a self-existing moon, and it is day 13. And just excited to be podcasting again. I just did podcast because I did the last episode twice so that I could talk about Donald Trump on two different occasions. But that is behind us now. And the big news is just how we move through these portal days. The 10 portal days that are enclosed in the Red Serpent Wave Spell. And we are on, let's see, what number is the portal? We started with White Lunar World Bridger, and then we had the Blue Electric Hand, infamous day of Donald, and then we had Yellow Self-Existing Star, and yesterday was Red Overtone Moon, and now White Rhythmic Dog, so the fifth day out of 10. So there's, when we accomplish today, then we will have five more to go. We're going to be at the midpoint. And like I said last episode, one of them, we acclimate. You know, at first the portal is sort of like turgid, volatile. I just think it makes things dense. Even though it's an opening, it just intensifies life through pressure, velocity. Suddenly we're swept forward or through, or we're wide open when we were shut down, or we're just looking at things more deeply, not just looking, experiencing them more deeply. And then we get in the habit of that. Here we are on the fifth day, and the charged environment of a portal is becoming familiar and, you know, comfortable in a way. In my past exposure to the Red Serpent Wave Spell, I have described that it is very much like shedding a snake skin and what that represents. Something that used to be a good fit for us, didn't impede us, in fact, was part of our connection to the earth, is dried out and brittle, and we want out of it, and we shrug our way out, we wriggle out, and it's an interesting metaphor because it means in the portals that we move through in the Red Serpent time, we are looking through or moving through the past that no longer serves us. And then in a parallel existence, the yellow seed portals and the yellow seed wave spell that mirrors the Red Serpent, that'll be in two wave spells from now, three. It goes Red Serpent, White Mirror, Blue Monkey, and then Yellow Seed. So it's a distance out, but it's the other wave spell that has 10 portals. And to me, Yellow Seed is like dropping through a hole we press in the dirt. And so when we fall through those portals to the earth, we are going sort of downwards, and the process of growth is going to take us back up through what we pass through. So it's like experiencing the future in 10 portals that we'll come back to. And so that's why I think there's this correlative experience in the Red Serpent time, which is we are looking one more time at what we're leaving. And the discomfort that you would feel in this wave spell could have some description then of, wow, this is haunting me. Maybe it used to be easy and it's no longer serving me. what I'm identifying in my own life is sort of like, oh, one more time, I'm going to look at this past part of myself that's so uncomfortable and dried up and constrictive and doesn't make me feel supple and sensual at all. This crunchy part of my life history is back on all sides of me again. I think that that's the combination. I mean, you know, my belief system is so strongly in Mercury retrograde. Like, it's just, it's like a obsession, or it's just a really fine ritual that I commit my entire self to. Just like, oh, Mercury is retrograde. I'm going to accept all the challenges that are defined by the retrograde. And I'm also going to accept that I'm going to be reviewing life. And I'm going to be finishing things that need to be brought to my attention maybe one final time, or just another iteration during this retrograde, and maybe it'll be a final time in the future. But I allow that to be true. And so if I'm talking about an uncomfortable snake skin that I'm wriggling out of, I feel like it's this sort of past personal drama. Like, this is very familiar and I don't like it. And none of this is impossible to deal with, which is nice. You know, some things about portals is that I don't think they bludgeon us with failure, sense of failure, or that things are constricting. Actually, I think that it's an expansive time. And if we have 10 portals, that's just exponential expansion. But the expansion is taking us either into unknown worlds that are terrifying and new, or as I said, we're revisiting themes that have been very hard for us in the past, and it's hard now to trust that it's going to be okay. Maybe I'll be more specific. Like, in my life right now, I just am experiencing a lot of fear and anxiety, which is exciting because that's very red serpent. And also because in my past, I think rather than experiencing fear, I would experience anger, which is sort of the defense of fear. Like, something would happen and I would just get angry because I'm a blue storm, and because it's a way to cope myself against disappointment or failure. And instead, now I'm just like less angry, but more terrified. And that's just intriguing in a certain way, because it's more raw, like walking around and without the defense structure of rage means that one is just like more vulnerable to feeling threatened. I'm without a defense structure, I feel more vulnerable to actual attack, and I'm scared. But it seems like it's a layer deeper in the feeling experience. And again, I'm just talking about this a little bit because Red Serpent is so at its instinctual level about things like, am I hungry? Am I scared? Am I tired? And are there going to be more of me in the form of offspring, you know, so procreation and self-preservation, and in the forms of making sure we are fed, rested, and physically safe, and having a lot of the response when we can't be certain that we are safe or fed or rested or certain to procreate. So there is just a lot of vulnerability and edginess in the Red Serpent motif, and then the portals again are taking us into deeper examination or exposure to some of this, whatever it is for you. Because I just talked about, you know, this is me. I am looking at really old patterns, but I'm looking at them in a greater, starker reveal, because I'm not in so much like blanketed resistance through my defense structure. But for each of us, Red Serpent, you know, has different aspects. Like, when I first studied, I would just think about the sexuality, not because I was obsessed with sex, but because that's what I understood about Red Serpent, that it's a very, this is the way Eden Sky wrote about it in one of her earliest calendars, it's a very sexual time. Sexual and sensual. It's not, just think that Red Serpent is sex drive. It's sex drive. That's what I think. It's not about making love, although you could feel a lot of love while you're having sex, even in Red Serpent time, but it's just more like, I want to be skin on skin. I'm interested in this phallic thing. Sorry, that is not personal confession. I would not do that on the podcast. That's more like, you know, like how one might feel. And then, just being like, you know, the emblem for medicine is two snakes coiling around each other or around a staff. And, you know, I think that that's the representation of sexuality I'm aiming for, is that you just coil around each other and without like all of this mental intent, and you have this physical sweetness, or it's an invocation of your bodies together, and then that creates medicine. You know, it's a healing. That's snake medicine. So that was one approach I had to Red Serpent early on. I mean, I was just thinking about it. I'm not revealing a sexual history here. That would just never be me. But I did feel like that's what you needed to think about in the Red Serpent. And then that just evolved to understanding like, oh, the instinct is different than the heart, and it's different than the mind. Instinct is guttural impulse, probably from our solar plexus and sacral chakras. Just when we are imagining ourselves in a snake's environment, we don't have hands and limbs that defend ourselves. So we do have this like very edgy virility, trying to make sure that we're safe, and we drop into these instinctual hungers because we don't have warm-blooded circulation that turns us into like little puppy love bugs. And then the latest thing is just to not understand like in expert fashion, but just come to a relationship with fear, which I think has been very stoked by our modern cultural impasses. Like, I don't remember just being really afraid. I'm sure I was really afraid during like the different nuclear threats of my youth, and in a way that I was groomed in my age range to be afraid of nuclear war. And I sort of remember this being instilled like a civics lesson in school, that we had an existential threat in the form of a nuclear war, the possibility of that. So I think whatever we're going through culturally now has a similar resonance. It's just sort of like mass hysteria over something real and dangerous, that we come together in a certain way to deal with our anxiety, and yet we invoke so much anxiety when we come together, or when we trade considerations of it. And, you know, whether that would be the climate crisis more broadly, or in each of our homelands, watching nationalism and authoritarianism, you know, sort of become trendy again. So, I mean, I just think a lot of the anxiety is humanity grappling with its evolution, and that I have a share in that. But I think that Red Serpent is a perfect time to sort of explode our anxiety, because what I was feeling in Red Overtone Moon, which just incidentally is my perfect antipode, and you have one. It's 130 days from my Zolkin birthday. And it's, since the Zolkin is like a 260-day cycle, to be 130 out, if we look at it like an orbit, I'm as far from where I started as I can be. And each of us is our perfect antipode, meaning exactly our opposite when we're 26 years old. So I'm instructing you, find out what your antipode is. It's going to be the same tone, but the opposite finger or toe from your own tribe. I'm a blue overtone storm, which is the left pinky toe. And yesterday is red overtone moon, which is the right pinky toe, both overtone. And so you have that version. It's going to be 130 days in the Zolkin away. And when you're there, you can say, well, if I get to be at home in my day when I have my Mayan birthday, it's like a rebirth coming home, then 130 days out is as far at a distance as we can be from home. And it's a great journey, you know, like we learn so much when we leave home as young people, or when we travel, you know, that whole adventure spirit, inserting ourselves in another paradigm in order to be the stranger, to be disoriented, to be excited, invigorated by something new. That's what it is to be 130 days away from your birthday. It's not scary and desperate and dangerous. It's just like, well, you're way out in the farthest realm that you're willing to travel or able to, and be there in fullness to absorb whatever the teaching is. And then day 131 away from home is homecoming. Do you know what I mean? Like, for me, yesterday was 130 days away, and today is 131 days from my birthday, and I'm turning homeward in my orbital. But how did I get started on that? I think, well, I don't remember. I'm not going to rewind, as it were, and find out. I'm sorry. I just think it was good for me to give you kind of just like a basic lesson that's more about your astrology than mine. And that was about your perfect antipode. Wherever I was, it's time to change the subject. It's time to turn away from the red serpent specifically and the portals. I think we've covered that. And go towards the self-existing moon for a moment, in part because if this is Wednesday, White Rhythmic Dog, the 30th of October, then Halloween itself is going to be the 14th day of the self-existing moon. And then on Friday, November 1st, we will begin the Western week of the self-existing moon, which is moving very quickly. Oh, I'm just like, if we're halfway through the self-existing moon already, I mean, things are just racing. Life is alive, alive and streaming. So, you know that the Western week, the third week of every moon, each moon is 28 days long and is divided into 7-day weeks, just as we are accustomed to. But currently, our 7-day week and each new moon, not the new moon in the sky, but the new month called a moon in the 13 moon calendar, each new moon starts on Friday, and each week of that moon starts on Friday. So on Fridays we turn. So we had the first week was in the east, and then the week we're currently in is in the north, and then we're going to switch, and we're going to have like 3 portal days, the culmination of the red serpent wave spell, like its highest pitch, touching the planetary day, which is white planetary wizard, and then dissolving in blue spectral eagle. Those are the last portal days. And so it's red serpent, which I've thoroughly discussed as having certain challenges in terms of being our base elemental fears and instinct. And then we have, that it capitulates, it climaxes and then falls apart, and then there's portals associated with that, and the blue Western week, which is the place of transformation, but emotions, it's a feeling state, watery. I don't know. It's a week of transformation. So that's a lot. It's exciting, and I don't know. Exciting is such the optimist way of being scared. Like, oh, it's really exciting. And it's terrifying. But you don't have to be terrified because I'm talking about that. I just think there's terrifying things happening most days now. So that's where the terror comes from, not from the red serpent wave spell. Just from observing life unfolding. But it could be colored by my snake instincts. I give you that. And that's so great that after this wave spell, which will begin, the next wave spell will begin in this blue Western week of the self-existing moon. It'll be white mirror. So you know how that goes. We go from red serpent, instinctual, not really heart-centered, to white mirror, where we're reenacting the human sacrifice ritual, where we have a heart cut out of us. That sounds wild. And then we enter Blue Monkey and then Yellow Seed, and those are they take us in the second half of the Dzogchen. Blue Magnetic Monkey is the 131st day of the Dzogchen, so it begins the second half, and things are different in the second half, but we'll talk about that much closer to our arrival there. So the self-existing moon is changing. That's what I started with here, that we're moving from the week in the north, which I said last podcast is kind of like the experience of absence of action. It's a time of blessing and connecting to spirit. And spirit, I think, in this realm is doing more blessing than, moving mountains. That's an inactive relationship with spirit, meaning we're looking for the meditation space, the prayer space, the place of devotion, maybe, or the place of inquiry, saying, I am curious to know, what divinity makes of this time. And I would say that it's pretty receptive then, instead of us taking a lot of action. And then in the blue Western week, I don't know that we initiate a lot of action, but there is a lot of action, emotional action, and what's related to that kind of upheaval and feeling states. I'm taking a commercial break to just be like, so today's podcast is brought to you by White Rhythmic Dog, and that's why you can hear a dog snoring as the background sound. It's really loud, but I'm hoping that you're listening on White Rhythmic Dog, and so that's kind of the rhythm of a dog, right? There's the rhythm of a dog running, there's the rhythm of a dog panting, and then maybe barking, and then there's the snoring. So, but let me just say that the self-existing moon, once again, is this time where we are asking the question, how can I best be of service? And trusting the answer is through what unfolds. It's through the actions that we feel impelled to take in this time, the fate that we're drawn to. And it is also, we're just going to get signifiers, like some of it's action, it's already underway, and some of the answer is just an answer that you're going to work towards. It's a hope or aspiration, it's an idea, it's an impulse, and then we have time forward, the overtone moon, we're going to best empower ourselves, the rhythmic moon, we're going to organize ourselves so that we're in rhythm. That might be when our form of service takes action, but right now we get an indicator and we start, we conceive it. It's becoming part of the narrative of this year in a conscious way. And I'd like to just do the daily astrology, in part because I'm really on the ball here and this White Rhythmic Dog consideration will be there for everyone, wherever you are in the world, when you wake. And so White Rhythmic Dog being a portal day is... I'm nudging the dog that's snoring. Don't snore. White Rhythmic Dog is so powerfully about love. It's guided by its own power doubled, such as any rhythmic day. So I just think that there is something so powerful about this portal day that is, it's love, heart, and loyalty, guided by love, heart, and loyalty, doubled. And that's pretty basic and clear. I'm going to tell you a small synchronicity story because I think that your lives must be very similar on occasion, and this is not abnormal, but it still kind of just makes me laugh and want to talk about it. I have a very dear friend that I don't spend a lot of time with because he's my plumber, but I know him socially here and there as well. But in any case, I looked up his birthday because of his behavior. And he is a White Rhythmic Dog. And he's just always saying things. I feel like he's, as a plumber, he's a little bit slow. Not smart, but just he moves slower at his work than other people might. I don't know how that's white. I don't have an assessment of that astrologically, but I don't care, because it's kind of like having a shaman around, because he just always says things that are so incisive, and they're always about relationship or love or, you know, the life of a devotee, because those are all white dog themes. How we love in partnership, how we love as a family or a tribe, a pack of dogs, and then how we love in devotion, you know, to be wholeheartedly curious and in gratitude to something greater than us, as if we were the pets of God. So we lay ourselves at the feet of God. We tag along wherever God goes. Our lives revolve around our God. So I'm just laughing because I asked him to come and do some plumbing, and I asked him on Monday, and then he said he couldn't come till Wednesday. And then when he was confirming last night, I was just like, oh, get out of here. He's going to do plumbing at my house of all the houses on his Mayan birthday. If you experience things like that, this is what I want to say. That's not about him in relationship to the Mayan calendar. It's about my relationship to the Mayan calendar and how synchronicities align in my life so that I have faith in my path that's oriented to the natural time. And that people often want to be around me on their days that are significantly, you know, associated to their Mayan astrology. And I dream, I've said this before, I dream routinely about people who in the day to come, in the waking day, it'll be their tone or their tribe. And so all of that to me is just sort of like fun extra treats, tricks that go with having kind of a childlike indigenous devotional program. So I get to spend the day with this guy who doesn't know or care that it's his Mayan birthday, but I know and care. I can tell him. I could even make him care, but to me, I don't really do that anymore. I might tell him, but then I'm just going to be observing him the way I had to observe Trump, you know, last Saturday when he was being a giant, giant ass. Then I'm going to observe my plumber on his day and see what is he doing that's like his very distilled essence. So look for that. I used to preach the gospel of using natural time and Mayan astrology to understand people better. Because if you look up their birthday and you pay attention to these cycles, you can feel what they feel when it's their day, whether it's tribe or tone or both, and you can revere them when it's their tribe or tone or both. It's just a way to really love someone also devotionally without really getting up in their space or even having a lot of interactions, but to just be like, I treasure this understanding of the white rhythmic dog by being in a white rhythmic dog day. Okay, and then we have, quickly, blue resonant monkey, because we're indicating that 20 days from then, which will be, oh, is that for real? Yes. Oh my God. Halloween is blue resonant monkey. That's great. That is a great day to be in costume. But that will presage the blue monkey wave spell that I mentioned. That will be day 131, starting the new Genesis, the blue monkey Genesis, the second half of the Zolkin. And then on Friday, we have a galactic day honoring yellow galactic human, still a portal. That is the wave spell that was yellow human wave spell that has happened. It started 20 days prior, and this is its last iteration. We're weaving it into the red serpent time seamlessly, like the Mayan did with their incredible textile art. And then on Saturday, we will have red solar Skywalker, which is a really immense portal to be praying to the sun, speaking the language of the sun, moving towards our peak experience of red serpent, in the sky, walking, a prophet, seeking, bringing an answer back to earth. And then just the preview, next time I podcast, will be white planetary wizard, which is John Lennon's Mayan birthday. And he was perfect as a planetary wizard. And that's a portal. That'll be the 9th portal of 10. You can always read my book. It's available at resonanttruth.com. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, In Lakesh.